The following is a presentation of the Town of North Hempstead's Project Independence and WCWP. Welcome to Project Independence and You.
Welcome to Senior Talk Radio here at 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Iris Bunshaft. Good morning, Iris.
Good morning, John.
And Project Independence, Iris, excuse me, is a member of the Roslyn Advisory Board. And we've said before, there's six different advisory boards, and they're open to anybody who would like to come and get involved with Project Independence. And all you have to do is call 311 to find out where it will be the next one. What day. It's always the same day of the week, but it's only once a month.
Right.
So it's wonderful to get involved in it. And when I reference 311, that really is the major source of information for this town. Project Independence is the Town of North Hempstead's initiative to help seniors age in place. We have social workers, we have transportation to shopping, transportation for medical, exercise programs, so many things going around. People are coming to your house to help out with small repairs, even bigger repairs. But that's
a
different level.
Don't get excited. Don't let them all get excited about that.
No, the bigger repairs is a whole different thing.
Yes.
But somebody will come in and they're vetted.
Mm-hmm.
And the important thing is it's a town that cares to try to keep the seniors happy and active. And a lot of the programs you'll hear about on the Christina Liu show at 11:30, which really is the pulse of the town. It's the talk of the town. Today, we have a very special guest. We have Reva Ettis, who is the co-chair of the Nassau County Museum of Arts Docens.
In Roslyn.
And it's actually about a 25-mile east of New York City. And it's a beautiful, beautiful museum. It's on the former Frick Estate.
Yes, that's correct.
And I've been there. It's the grounds. I think it's 100 acres maybe or something. Or is it?
It's 145.
145 acres of pieces of it are so beautifully manicured. And they're walking trails, etc. But I'm not going to be telling the story. That's your job, Reva. Good morning.
Good morning. And I just want to make a little adjustment. Good. I am the former coordinator of Docens.
Okay.
My term of office has rotated, and now we have a terrific replacement.
So we have an experience, but we have an experienced docent.
Terrific.
This morning.
And the fact that you're still here shows you still, no, honestly, that you're still representing them shows you really care, which is the main thing. That's what we look for here. People on the show, we want people who own the project, not just I work there and I'm left and I have no interest. That's tremendous, Reva.
Okay.
Tell us some stuff about the museum. I mean, I've been there and I say, I know it's just tremendous, the different displays not displays, that's the wrong word.
Exhibits,
thank you very much.
Okay, well, currently we have a joint exhibit called Glamorous Graffiti and also the works of Kenny Scharf, who came out of that movement.
Okay.
And all you have to do is think back to the 70s, late 70s and 80s, and picture those subways as they were vandalized, we could say,
right.
But out of that program and out of that movement came some amazing artists who are working today. And it evolved into street art, where it's true, in its heyday, the artists were often on the run under the being chased by authorities. But today, there are municipalities that are inviting street artists to decorate and revitalize some rather challenged neighborhoods.
It's funny that you say that. I was in Long Island City this past weekend with my grandson, who's five. And on the way into the city, you see buildings that have graffiti that have been vandalized. You can see they're up on the roof, and it's just scribbling and some words and different things. And he pointed it out to my wife, and she said, well, that's not a nice thing to do. People shouldn't do that. But when you got into Long Island City, there's a lot of construction going on, and it's sign stuff. And it was funny, she was explaining to him that the man obviously contracted somebody to put the graffiti up and make a scene all around the perimeter of the construction site to make the place look nicer. It's amazing.
Yes, so things...
It is a different level of graffiti.
Oh, of course.
One is artistic, and one is just
when it's just
a vandalization.
Right.
Yes. Or self-promotion.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yes. So that is what we have currently, okay. And that exhibit will run through July, I believe it's the 9th or so. It's the first, through the first
yeah,
week
I see
of,
that. Okay.
Of July.
And you do have a brown bag program. You want to mention some of that, Reva?
Yes, because that is a program that is particularly geared for seniors. Once a month, or we could say three times in any exhibition period, there is a slideshow presentation about the current exhibit where the audience gets to sit and learn about the exhibit from the comfort of their seats. And then they are welcome, of course, to either join a tour or just wander on their own
okay.
at their own pace.
Terrific.
And that's all part of the admission, too.
Yes, it is. It's just the general admission, which for seniors is $8
okay.
today. And
children?
Children are only $4, defining children as being between 4 and 12.
Okay, okay.
And so it's not, considering what other prices are today, it's fairly reasonable.
And also, really, it's we have a family tour of art activities on Sundays.
Yes, we do. So it's also a wonderful venue for grandparents to bring their kids, grandchildren, and they go on a little mini tour with the parents, grandparents, and then they have followed up by art activities.
Terrific.
Is there an age limit to that?
I don't believe so. Mm-hmm. Although if you know teenagers, they're not ones who
right, that's want a whole different story.
They want to do their own thing.
You have so many different programs, but one that intrigues me is autism in the arts.
Yes.
It's you know, it's only on certain days.
Yes. And that particular program, I think, is done hand in glove with an organization. So I think people would need to find out a little bit more about that program. So we do have many programs with the idea of addressing the needs of all types of learners, children, people with disabilities or okay. limitations, etc.
Okay, okay.
And also something really special for those seniors who are artists on their own. You have a sketching, allow sketching in galleries on Tuesdays from 1 to 2 p.m. Is that so?
Yes, and that's on two specific dates, May 3rd and June 7th. It's a new program that has been initiated, and I understand it was quite popular, so I have a feeling it's going to stick around.
Good.
And then the special art performance program by the artist Kenny Scharf as well on a specific Sunday.
Yes, that's on June 19th. Kenny Scharf, whose exhibit covers really the entire first floor galleries, will be here at the museum and will be creating art before your very eyes. So he was.
So that's a very special program.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and I am quite sure it's going to be quite popular.
Okay. And of course, let's with the upcoming special events, let's include the summer picnic party for kids and family, picnicking, art making, games, and the like. Oh, it's also part of the links to Kenny Scharf's Day Glow installation. Now, that's interesting.
Well, virtually all of the arts and crafts projects that are presented to the kids, whether it's a regular Sunday or in this case, a super special one, is always geared to the current exhibit. So it's a way of tying in what
right.
they saw with what they could create, because everybody is an artist.
Just, I have a question in reference to all the various programs. There's so many. I mean, the history of the place is tremendous, starting with the co-founder of U.S. Steel. But how did you get involved? Let's go back. I mean, we can find out about Frick buying it from Cullen Bryant and all this other business, but how did you personally get involved in something like this?
Well, it was totally serendipitous. I had retired. I was a teacher, a high school math teacher with
okay.
no training in art. And I had retired, and I wasn't quite sure how I was going to structure my days. And I just happened to go to the Nassau County Museum of Art, joined a tour, and the light bulb just went on. This is what I want to do. So it's given me a wonderful opportunity. I to learn, to grow, and have to say it's just been terrific.
Great. So now you wanted to get involved.
Yeah.
What were your steps then? What did you do?
Okay, so I spoke to the docent who was very forthcoming. How do you become a docent? And he gave me the name of those coordinators. I emailed them, and they contacted me when they were starting a new training program.
Okay.
And should I say the rest is history?
Right, no, it's terrific, though.
Yeah.
And is the training program, I mean, for people listening that say, I'd like to get involved in something, and it's a wonderful place. And at the same time, you're not only helping the people that are coming into the museum, you're also learning each time.
Yes, absolutely. Well, we have, over the time I began, we have developed quite a rigorous training program. Okay. And we just fairly recently certified 6 new docents. The program took almost a year because we really want people out there to be able to not only learn about art in general, but also how do you present it and how do you, you know, the whole, it's all part of that process.
Well, it is. It's so important because I've gone to museums. I'm not a major museum person, but I have gone to them. And when you've gone on a guided tour with the docent, you need a person that can answer the questions. Because when a few people in the group ask a few questions and they don't get an answer, you lose, you know, the interest is gone. It's like, this lady or man doesn't know it, so I walk off on my own.
You know, when I was a docent at the Nassau County Museum a number of years ago,
okay,
I remember our first group of high schoolers coming in, and I was very nervous. I mean, I hadn't given this kind of talk previously. And it makes me laugh to think about it. As this young man, this young high schooler, got off the bus and he started to yawn and scratch himself, you know, sort of like a
gorilla. Yeah,
a gorilla, okay. Right? I said to myself, what am I worried about? That was a moment of enlightenment.
And today that boy's in Harvard, you know.
And I enjoyed my time at the museum.
Oh, I didn't know you were there too. Okay. Uh-huh. Oh, terrific. How long ago was that?
In the 80s.
Oh, nice. Okay. And the thing is, it's so important you need it. Because you can go into a museum and just walk around, but without the guidance of somebody who's trained and enjoys doing it, it's a lost experience for anybody.
It's not as enriched.
100%. Mm-hmm. You know, Irish, you're always here for the good words. Thank you. So that, but you're retiring from this now, Reva?
No, I am in with 2 feet. I am the person who runs the docent website.
Oh, okay.
Which we use for training purposes.
You know what? I'm going to interrupt you for a phone number. For somebody who is interested.
And to call and volunteer.
To volunteer and get involved.
To be a meter and greeter.
Right. Okay. The phone number of the museum is, of course, 516-484-9337.
Okay.
And although we don't have a date for when we would be perhaps starting a new docent program.
Okay.
We do collect the names, and when we do, we contact them. But at this moment, we are also looking for other types of volunteers who could serve as greeters at the door and all the other various activities. The museums run on the, should I say, by the on the goodness of other people.
Right, okay.
We need people to assist with mailings and perhaps even work in the museum store. So they are, I noticed in their newsletter, looking for people.
That's very good, because if you want to volunteer, but just say, I don't want to be out in front of people, I'm embarrassed, I'm nervous, but I do love the organization, want to help out, there's nothing wrong in going into the back office and doing the mailing or helping out some other way. You're still as important. You may not be the meter and greeter, and I may not recognize you from the museum as I would Reva for walking around, but that person still plays an important role.
And it's a good point of socialization as well. People who are interested in the same kinds of things that you're interested in.
Absolutely.
So it's a way of making new friends.
True.
Yes. So for me, it wasn't just learning about art or discovering, yes, I can run a website. I have made amazing group of friends who are of course, very much like-minded.
Mm-hmm.
Terrific.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking here this morning with Riva, I was going to your last name first, excuse me, Riva Edis from the Nassau County Museum of Arts. We're going to take a break. You're listening to 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. We'll be right back.